Okay, so I think we're going to start from.
We definitely got to the one vessel breaking another one.
Yes. We definitely talked about that, exactly. So I think we're going to start from the middle of Yud-Chet Amud Aleph, just above halfway down. Boi Rova Chatzin Ezek But we'll, let's do a little bit of summing up of where we got to, just so we sort of get back in gear, because I'm not entirely sure where it was that we left off. But basically, so we had that case of one person throwing the vase or whatever it was off the roof, and someone else hitting it on the way down. We had the question of what's it called, basar me'ikara azlinon or basar tavar mana. Do we follow the initial action or do we follow the actual breaking of the utensil? Which one is the key one? That was brought as a proof. The reason why we were asking that question was because we had this. The other case that we talked about was this utensil that then broke another utensil. So within the world of Simchas, we were suggesting within the world of Simchas, what about if you have for instance, the chicken pecks the rope, we said, and the utensil falls off as a result, right? And then it breaks, and then you pay full damages for that. But then a shard of the pottery goes out, flies off and breaks something else. So do you pay full damages for that? Do you pay half damages for that? Again, this is within the world of Simchas. We always have to remember all the stuff. It's going to come up again today that when we're talking, we're talking basically within two different worlds. There's the world of the Rabbanon and the world of Simchas. The world of the Rabbanon, they believe in the concept of which means basically when the animal's walking along, that classic case, animal's walking along, a stone shoots out, the Rabbanon say that's half damages, Simcha says it's full damages, right? So you've got to figure out which world you're talking in every time. So we're now talking within Simcha's world. So within Simcha's world, the initial utensil breaking is full, you're still liable full damages. But let's say a shard from that flies out, what he calls, or what the Gemara terms, koach kocho. It's not just Migufo, or gufo. It's not your direct damage. It's not kocho. It's not indirect damage from your strength or from something that came from you. But it's kach kocho. It's like double removed. So that was the question.
It's not shrapnel. It's only if it falls on something which then breaks.
Exactly. Yeah. No. Well, shrapnel's a little bit different because,
The shrapnel would be from the original.
Well, this is not the original object. This is I guess you're talking about something a little bit different. You're talking about, let's say, you break the utensil intentionally. We're talking about within the world of Simchas. So within the world of Simchas, the question is, your animal is walking along and it hits a stone. So that's, I don't know if you call that shrapnel or not. The initial stone breaking the utensil, he says that's full damages. That utensil then breaks something else, then what's the halacha? What's the halacha? Again, interesting. So I think one of the questions that we didn't have an answer to, or we didn't spend a long time on it, but we sort of wondered about it, and I couldn't find my Shita Mekubetzes, but somebody pointed to me towards the Shita Mekubetzes, which is a collection of different Rishonim, pretty sure Rishonim, maybe some. Early-ish opinions, and basically they said that let's see if I can find a direct quote here. They said that basically there's no sort of going down past half damages. We had that question. Let's say you extend it further, right? Do we go from half to quarter to eighth or whatever it is? And the answer was no. There's no such thing as kach kocha within the world of the Rabbanon, for example. The Rabbanon say the first one is half damages, so let's say that one goes and breaks something else. Or do you say quarter damages? So the answer was that, again, it's almost like a special... you have it's not exactly... We tend to be lenient on this, actually. You have a similar discussion when it comes to... Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni, actually, on Shabbos. You know, that Kli Rishon means it's on the fire, or it was on the fire, and Kli Sheni means it's off the fire. So off the fire means off the fire, right? What does it mean, off the fire? So it doesn't matter whether it's a third cup, or fourth cup, or fifth cup, or seventh cup. Off the fire is off the fire. It's the same category. So, that, however, others say no. If you have a Kli Sheni, Kli Sheni is off, you know, you pour it from the first one into the second one, then the third one makes it less, you know, even less less of an issue. That's generally what we assume. But there are those who say, no, there's no such thing. And again, you could, so over here, we have the reverse. It's either on or off, right? You're either paying full damages or you're paying half damages. Once you're in the half damages category, it doesn't matter how many times, you know, removed, in a sense, you go, you're still going to be within that half damages dispensation.
Does that negate your ability, though, to claim some damages, even though you're half damages from another party? So you're still liable to pay half damages, but can you recover those if other people are then involved and increase the damage?
How would that work? You mean when...
So, let's say, for example, so the thing falls over, it gets broken,
right,
and then shard flies off, breaks again, half damages.
Right.
But the fact is, the way it was displayed was negligent on the part, let's say, of the shopkeeper who held the good in front. So, if it wasn't put in that particular way, balanced in that way, it wouldn't have been damaged.
Do you mean you'd given it to someone else to look after? Is that what you mean?
Not even that. Just some ongoing damage, say, twice removed. Well,
you get half damages for that.
So you pay half damages to the initial damage, but can you, as the payer of the half damages, then claim restitution for some of that damages paid? You with me?
No.
In other words,
you're not. It's the same person. It's the same person paying the damage.
Both pay. So
the one who caused the. We're usually talking. Let's assume we're talking within. Let's assume we're talking within the realm of animals, because that's sort of that's more what we're focusing on, less human damages over here and more. But let's say my animal, let's use the chicken case. My chicken pecks the rope, the utensil falls. We say, according to Simchos, the first utensil, you pay full damages. The shard flies out, breaks the second utensil. So I'm paying for 1.5 vases, basically.
Okay.
Right, you're paying for the first one, full damages, and you're paying the second one, half damages.
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you were asking. Yeah, okay. okay. So that's the fine. So that's an important thing to mention at the beginning. And okay. So we're now gonna get into an interesting discussion, which is it's a little bit limited. I'll start by pointing out that although we're talking about half damages, not all half damages are equal, right? There are other half damages that we've talked about. So, for instance, Chatzinizek in Keren, right? We talked about when an animal gores another one, and that's half damages. That's not the same as this. That doesn't mean, you know, meaning that there are different types of dispensations. Having said that, what our Gemara is going to discuss now is, are there similarities, right? Are there similarities between the two? But in principle, they're two different exceptions to the rule, right? There's one exception of where you pay half damages because your animal's gored for the first time, it's unusual, unexpected, etc. It has intentionally caused damage for the first time. And there's a separate question of, you know, of an animal walking along and knocking a stone out, and you get half damages dispensation for that. So they're two really different things. Having said that, now Gemara's question now wonders whether there might be a little bit of similarity. So Boim Rava asks the following. Boim has a question. He wants to know. It's puzzling over. And let's remember, I think Rava was the one who asked the previous question as well, actually. Maybe that's why we're connecting one of the reasons why we can. Obviously, Rava did a lot of puzzling over this Chatzin Nezek Tzoros. Yeah, Rava was the one who started off our last sugya as well.
About 8 times up from previous page.
That was before? Yeah, the last one, you mean?
Yeah,
exactly. You're right. The last one was also Rava, exactly. Yeah, so now we've got a new boy Rover, okay? So new boy Rover, he's got another question. This is now about 15, maybe 18 lines down on Yudchet Ahmed Aleph, 18a. Boy Rover, Chatzi Nezek Tzoros. Now this category that we're talking about, Chatzi Nezek, when we're talking within the world of the Rabbonon, right? Seemingly. So you're paying half damages because the stone flew out while the animal was walking. That rule that you're only paying half damages, does that mean migufo mashalem or mi alio mashalem? Does that mean you're paying only up to the value of the animal, or do you pay me alio mashalem, means from the best lands, you know, all the way up, you're paying for half damages, there's no limitation on the half damages? What's this got to do with? So let's just remind ourselves, this is a specific limitation within the world of keren. Within the world of an animal causing intentional damage, keren, when we say half damages, a shor tam, right, the first time it's caused this damage, not only do you get the dispensation of half damages, but you also get dispensation of migufo, which means you only pay up to the value of the animal itself. So maybe the same thing is true over here. That's our question. We know we have the exception of half damages over here, but is it also migufo, or do you pay all the way up? So, i.e., if you're I don't know, if your cow breaks, yeah, mingvaz, you know, as it's going, doesn't mean you only pay up to the value of the, you pay half damages up to the value of the cow. If the vase is worth £50, then you pay £25, right, because your cow's going to be worth more than that. Let's say the vase is worth £1 million. So do you pay the full 500,000, right, or do you only pay up to the value of your animal? So that's the question. Boy Robert, that's what he wants to know. And we'll talk a little bit about Migufo and Meali in just a moment. Meali Mishalim, Migufo Mishalim, Delo Ashkechon Chatzi Nezek, De Mishalim Mino Aliyah. So the first suggestion is, no, Migufo Mishalim, you pay only Migufo, because again, there's no such thing as Chatzi Nezek. They go together, they go hand in hand. Whenever you're getting the dispensation of Chatzi Nezek, you're getting the dispensation of Migufo as well. I call it a dispensation, but this is the way. It's really what you're liable to pay. You're not getting preferential treatment. It's just the way that the requirements are structured, right? The way that the Torah expects these delineates the requirements to pay. So migufa mishalim de lo ashkechon chatzi nezek de mishalim me'aliyah. O dilma, right? Or maybe let's present it differently. Me'aliyah mishalim. Why de lo ashkechon ka'urche de mishalim migufe? Because he says, oh, maybe it's different because delash kan ka'urche de mishalim migufe. This troros is a normal thing, right? You know, it's kocho. Yes, it's true. It's indirect. But it's normal, it's usual when you're wandering along, when the animal's walking along, kicks out pebbles, right? That's what happens. And therefore, it's a normal thing. It's not like keren, which is a little bit unusual, right? Which is a surprise to an extent, right? We weren't expecting this domesticated animal to do that. It's not a lion, right? As we had in the Mishnah at the end of the first perek. Certain animals are muodin mitchilos, and are considered muod straight away, right? But this is your dog caused damage. He caused intentional damage to someone. Then that's why you have migufo, this limitation of up to the value of the animal, because it's unexpected. However, over here, it's normal for an animal to wander along. And although you do have, yes, the indirect nature makes it half damages, the Gemara is suggesting in this other perspective that because it's normal, you would pay me ha'aliyah, you'd pay the full amount. You meaning there's no cap on the amount that you pay. Okay. So we're bringing a proof. This is almost exactly, so far as I can see, almost exactly halfway down the page. Just second word into the line. Toshima, let's bring a proof. Hidus eino muad. So if the animal was it was dancing around, I think is what we said, right? The chicken was sort of flapping around. Eina muad. That's not considered muad. V'yeshomrim hariz emuad. So this is within this brisa, say, is discussing dancing around. Is that considered to be a muad? Is it not considered to be a muad? Is it considered to be a normal thing or not? So salka daitach. If one, I might suggest itself to me, elon lav hidus vehitis, right? That it means hidus vehitis, that this is a case of tsroros. When it says hidus here, when it's talking about an animal dancing around, what damage is being caused, right? When the animal's dancing around, it means hidus vehitis. It means that it's dancing around and then a stone shoots out, hitis, like it was knocked out. It was the stone jumped out as a result. So we're talking about a case of tsroros. Uvahaka miflugi. And the machlokas in this brisa is exactly what Rava is unsure about. That's our suggestion at the moment, the Gemara is suggesting. That maybe this exact question is what the brisa is puzzled over. Hidus, when it's flapping around, is that considered to be muad? Is it not considered to be muad? Maybe that's Rava's exact question. Uvahaka miflugi. Mand Omar Einu Muad Kosovar Migufa Mashalim. The one who puts it in the camp of Einu Muad, why is he using that language of Einu Muad? Because he's saying it's just like an Einu Muad animal, just like an Einu Muad Keren animal. What? Have I skipped a bit? I think we're on, and that's the afterwards. Umand Omar Muad. Umando Omar Muad Kosovar Me'aliyah Mashalim. So the one before. We're doing both of them together, right? Mando Omar Eina Muad. Yeah?
Yeah.
Uvahokam Ifligi. This is the exact machlokas. Mando Omar Muad. Mando Omar Eina Muad, right? The one is Eina Muad, is first. Kosovar Migufa Mashalim. That's why you would pay only Migufa. That's why you'd have this cap. Umando Omar Muad. And the one who says it is Muad. You'd pay the full amount, right? So what have we gained by doing this? Rava had a question. We've still got a question. We've got a machlokas. It doesn't really make a difference. What we've done is we've shown that it's machlokas, right? Rava is asking, is it a Rava's asking which one is it, right? So the answer could be we have a debate within the brisa, right? So that's what we're suggesting at the moment. We have a debate within this. Brisa or whatever. I mean, I keep calling it a brisa, but I'm assuming that's what it must be. Toshima. Yeah, must be a brisa, right? Otherwise, that's why we're bringing a proof from this piece of Tanaitic literature, right? Again, Rava's from the later generations. Rava's one of the Amoraim from the later generation. So the fact that we see that there is an earlier machlokas, right, from the time of the Mishnah, that's an answer to Rava's question, that we see that's machlokas. But we don't know if that's really what the explanation of this machlokas is, that the way we've suggested it. And the Gemara says, no, you don't have to view it that way. You could see this machlokas in a different light, i.e., Elolav. Low, right? The Gemara says low. Biplugta de sumchus verabonon kamifligi. That's not the way to explain this debate. This debate is simply the same machlokas as the sumchus and the rabonon, i.e., it's not a machlokas about migufo or mealia, right? Whether you have a cap of migufo or not. The debate is whether you're paying half damages or not, right? That's the debate. The one who says muad is saying you is firmly in the sumchus camp, believes that you're, that you are paying full damages, and therefore that's not so helpful. Okay, so that doesn't really help us. Toshima. So we're gonna try another proof. So we've still got Rava's question. We don't really have a conclusive answer either for A or for B, or that there's a machlokas A or B. Toshima. Hakelev shenotal charora. Interesting case. Hakelev shenotal charora v'holach legodish. A dog which took a charora. Achara, I think it's some sort of, what is it, like a bread type thing. What does it say? Loaf, there you go. Okay, yeah, exactly. I was going to say a biscuit or something. Yeah, but basically some sort of, something to eat, okay? Taken this. V'holach legodish, and it went to the fields, right, basically. The godish, like the grain and that sort of, so you went over there, went over to all the vegetation to eat over there. V'ochal hacharara. And it ate this loaf, but this loaf also had something attached. He took it out the fire in order to do it. This bread was baking, so he took it out the fire, and as he was doing so, some ember or coal or whatever it was still attached to this loaf. So he went off and ate it in the field, and what happened? The coal stayed behind. Vehidlik esagodish. It set all this grain on fire, set all your crops on fire. So, al hacharora mishalim nezek shalem, right? For the charora, you pay full damage. It would pay full damages. Shane, this is a classic case of shane, right? It's stolen your food, stolen your loaf, eaten your loaf. There it's paying full damages. But al hagodish, al hagodish mishalim chati nezek. But on the crops itself, that was kocho. That was a step removed. That was indirect. It didn't go off and and cause direct damage to your crops. It was as it was eating, right? As it was eating, in a sense, the coal fell out, and therefore that's only going to be you're only going to pay half damages for that. Okay, hidlik yez agodish alachora mshalim nezik shalom v'alagodish mshalim chatzin nezik. My timer, what's the reason? Lav mishum, is this not the, this is a rhetorical question? Lav mishum dehavi lehu tzroros, is it not because that is a case of tzroros? Right, you're paying half damages because it's indirect, same as if you're wandering along. V'toni ala, and we teach on this, we have a further clarification. That mishalim chatzin nezek migufo. Then not only are you paying half damages over here, but you also have the cap of migufo, and therefore maybe this is a proof that, again, proof that the half damages of tzoros would also be would always have the cap of migufo. So this is our second proof. Okay, second proof: the case of the dog took the loaf, the coal fell off the loaf and burnt the field. It's very clear that it's chatzin nezek, right? That it's half damages. That the Braisa says. It also says, or we also have a clarification that you pay only migufo, and therefore we want to say this is a classic case of tzoros. This is surely this answers Rava's question. Surely this answers Rava's question. Okay. V'tisbara. Right. So does this really make? Does this really make any sense? Is this the best way to explain this? Why? L'Rabbi Elazar nezek shalim migufei mi ashkechon. So this is L'Rabbi Elazar. We haven't really seen Rabbi Elazar at all, right? This is a new Rabbi Elazar, but it seems to be distinguishing. Who's this Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Elazar is the one who disagrees with this. Is what we call the bar plugta. Whenever you have this. What's called a stam Mishnah, right, or a stam Braiser. We've quoted this without a name, so that's going to be the majority opinion. But sometimes you'll have a disagreement. So we've quoted the side that you pay half damages on the Godish, right, on the grain that was burnt. But Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion, we don't have it in front of us, but the Gemara is telling us. We'll take their word for it that Rabbi Elazar disagrees with this. Rabbi Elazar says you pay full damages even for the grain itself. So the dog takes the loaf, right? Eats the loaf. The coal falls off. Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion that you pay full damages for all of it. Does that make sense? Right. So that's and if that's the case. It says v'hidlik, as I got, yeah, exactly. It burns it down.
Yeah, you're not
exactly. Yeah. Or whatever it is. Well, if God just says it grains. Oh yeah, because it's like
talking about from the place he stole the loaf. There's the grain in the shop or wherever.
Correct. Not grain there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think it's been. What's a good translation of the word? Is that what it says? Okay, fine. Yeah. So I think basically he's taking it to a convenient place to eat. Yeah, exactly. Right. That's where they leave all the piles of grain. Yeah, after it's been cut down. It's very relevant to it's in the psukim, right? It's in the psukim and Torah, by the trimmer. No, not set. Okay. Oh, not the setting fire to it. No, the word godish. I'm pretty sure is I'm blanking on psukim now. But when you take ne'echal min agad, anyway, I'll find it afterwards.
I mean, your interpretation is he takes a loaf, there's a coal attached, and he goes to the field to eat it, yeah?
That's the case we're talking about. That's
but
the case.
Is that the case, or is it that he takes a loaf, there's a coal attached, and he's still actually in the bakery or wherever, and there's a stack of grain in the bakery?
I don't think so. I mean, I was going to say, right, that's what I said. I think that's the real answer. It sounds like it's... It says he said v'holach l'godesh, which is why I explained it like that. But like I said, I don't think it makes any difference whether it's in the bakery or out the bakery. I think the reason it's saying that is because usually you pile up your grain in the field or I don't know near a storehouse. I guess it's elsewhere. That's the point. Yeah.
Not worth
prison. Yeah, exactly. Right. I think it's the same thing. Exactly. So wherever it is, the point is that on the loaf you're paying full damages. On the grain you're paying half damages. But Rabbi Loza's opinion is that you're paying full damages even on the grain. And yet we still have we still seem to have this cap of migufa, that you're only paying up to the value of the animal, right? Up to the value of the animal. Migufa, but tisbro lorbelos and nezek sholem migufe miashkechon, right? How is that possible? When do we ever have such a thing? Ela kagon dishoni beha begacheles. So this actually I was puzzling over. I'm not sure I fully understood it. Dishoni, or I couldn't quite get a good scenario in my mind. But it says, but dishoni beha begacheles. Over here, you're doing something different, basically. The way that you were, the way that it caused this damage was unusual. Right, Rabbi Lezer Sovelah Rabbi Tarfon, and Rabbi Lezer is following the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. What's Rabbi Tarfon's principle? De Omar Meshune Keren V'Chotzer Hanizak Nezek Shalim Meshalim. We've seen that in the past. Meshune Keren. If you do unusual type of Keren, right? B'Chotzer Hanizak. If it's in the other person's property, right? Keren is usually in the public domain. Let's say an animal intentionally causes damage. I think that's the point. This is the point. I think it's causing intentional damage. That's the thing. So one way of causing intentional damage is by goring, right, or by biting, or by kicking, or any of those sorts of things. So we said, so if that's in the public domain, then chatzi nezek, because it's keren tam, it's unusual, it's the first time, you would pay half damages. Let's say it's b'chotzer hanizak. So if it's in the person's property, you pay full damages. What about if it's unusual, right? Mishune keren b'chotzer hanizak. It's a very strange way that it caused damage in the chotzer hanizak. So Rabbi Tarfon's of the opinion that it's that you pay full damages in that case. So here, what we're saying is basically Rabbi Lazar is agreeing with that. What's the mishune keren? Mishune keren means that it's not that the dog took the loaf and the coal fell off. It sounds like it was almost intentional. He went for the coal, brought it over to the thing in order to, I mean, I don't know how you'd exactly figure out, but the point is it looks strange, right? It looks like he's intentionally trying to go and set fire to the, or, you know, trying to push the coal over to do it. And therefore, because of that, strangeness, so yes, in theory, it is a sort of Keren Tam type damages, right? It's not Sroros, right? It's not like we were talking about that, like indirect. It's very direct. So you're still going to pay full damages, but there's this tam aspect of it, in the sense that you're paying migufa, right? Because I think that's what the Gemara is saying. The fact that you're ending up paying migufa, yeah, must be because it's this Keren Tam aspect. That's the way I've understood it. Otherwise, I'm not sure what exactly we're... I'm not sure exactly how it helps otherwise. That's the way of... Let's see. Let's see. Let's see. Let's see. Let's see. Let's see. Yeah, 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 yeah. Okay, I think that's what it's saying. Okay. Actually, let's read it in the Rashi. Maybe he'll explain it a little bit clearer. So there's the Rashi. It's the last Rashi, basically before the lines get wider. But it's about 10 or 12 lines up from the from that point. It starts with Ela kagon deshani b'kacheles. That it actually took the coal in its mouth, right, or in its teeth, I guess. And it sort of almost like, you know, it looked like it was intentionally putting it on top of there, the hot coal. That's strange. So you can't answer our question from here. Why? Because if we're talking about bitsroros, right, that's a normal way of tsuros is a normal thing. As the animal wanders along, it pebbles shoot out. The kule almo me'aliyah mishalim, right? Maybe you would have said that that because tsuros is normal, everybody would agree that it's me'aliyah. V'hocha b'tsuros shashina b'hen kamiflike. Oh, I see. So it's not really a keren thing. So maybe I overstated it. The point over here Rashi is making is that this is an odd tsuros, right? It's a very unusual type of tsuros. Yes, it might be, but yeah, v'hocha b'tsuros shashina b'hen kamiflegi uv'tsuros kiurchaihu. In the normal case of tsuros, bein Rabbi Elazar bein Tanakama svir lehu kachsumchos to nezek shana mishalem. Maybe everybody would have agreed that you pay full damages. Hilkach hocha d'shani b'tsuros ka'omar. Over here, when it's unusual type of tsuros, it's a strange one. Gomer Tanakama chatzi nezek umigufo mishanim demeshunehu v'toldo t'karen. So it doesn't really help us in a case of normal tsuros because this is an unusual one. That's basically all that Rashi's saying. That the fact that this is strange doesn't help us to figure out our problem when we're talking about a regular case of tsuros that comes up, because again that's let's remember that was key to the Gemara's question, right? When the Gemara initially asked the question of whether it pays Megufo or Min Aliyah, it presented it in those terms. Either it pays Min Aliyah because it's similar to... either it pays Megufo because it's similar in the sense that it's got this dispensation of Chatzin Ezek, or it pays Min Aliyah, why? Because it's normal. That's what the Gemara had said. So it being something expected and normal and, you know, the way... I never like using the word normal, but it's... Urchaihu means the way of the world, maybe let's say, right? It's the way of the world, right? These sorts of things happen. So that seems to be key to the fact that you might have paid Min Aliyah, and therefore this isn't a good proof, because this isn't the way of the world, right? That the animal would carry the coal over just to seemingly burn. Yes?
I was going to say, because presumably then you'd have to be able to observe that it was a peculiarity.
Either way, you could, yeah. But you always have to observe. I mean, whenever we're talking about these cases, we're talking about with evidence that we see in front of us. Yeah.
Yeah. So in other words, you couldn't make the assumption the dog intended to.
Yeah, intention in these cases not. And to be honest, in human cases, it's the same thing. Well, although intention doesn't make a huge difference in human cases, but intention is. You never know what someone's intention is, or certainly not what an animal's intention is. You're basing your statement of intent, yeah, exactly, on does this action look like it was intentional or not, right? That's really what it's saying, right? You never know intent, really. You never know that. Okay, this whole concept. Or maybe I'll find a good place to pause, and then we'll just talk about Megufo anyway. It's a really fascinating cap, but let's just make sure we'll. Okay. So we're talking about. Yeah, so we are really coming back to this. Again, once we're talking about the animal carrying it over, again, it seems to be introducing this Karen. Tum aspect, and we're not so convinced of that. Velohi, right? We say Velohi, right? We must explain, i.e., we do want to explain that Rabbi Loza's case is a case of Tsroros, right? Why? My timer, Mokemas Loka Rabbi Tarfon. Why are you trying to fit this into Rabbi Tarfon? Mishum Nezek Shonim, because of the. Because it's full damages, we've now introduced this whole new, right, Rabbi Elazar's of the opinion of full damages, and therefore we introduced Rabbi Tarfon to explain he must be following Rabbi Tarfon's opinion of Mashuna Keren B'chotzer Anizak, right? Why are we scrapping around looking for something totally different? What were we discussing? We were discussing Tsuros, and we were discussing an animal doing something, doing an action, and there being a byproduct of that, right, an indirect consequence of that. So who's that? What, we've never heard of anyone who has the opinion that if you indirectly cause damage, then you pay full damages. What about sumchus? We've been talking about sumchus the whole way through, right? Rabbi Elazar Sovar Kesumchus. Why are we running around trying to find this, digging up this opinion of Rabbi Tarfon, which just totally doesn't seem to fit what we were talking about, at least in our initial assessment of the case. So let's come back to the simpler explanation. That the reason Rabbi Elazar is talking about full damages is not because of, Not because the animal's carrying the coal in its mouth and taking it over to set fire. It's because it's Sumchus. He's working within the world of Sumchus. Sumchus thinks that Sroros pays full damages. There you go. Everything works out very well. Very simple. Much easier to explain the case in that way. Just the way we were explaining before. The animal carried the loaf. The coal fell off. You paid the full damages. Why do you pay full damages according to Rebbe? Because he holds the opinion of Sumchus. He's following the opinion of Sumchus. Do'omar Sroros Nezek Meshalim. Nezek Shalim Meshalim. Right? You pay full damages for indirect damages. The sovar law to Rabbi Yehuda, and he's holding like Rabbi Yehuda. What the Omar Tzad Thomas Bimkoma Omedes? Right. Let's see. Actually, we'll see if this if Rashi has a good explanation of this. Okay. Well, basically, what it means is as follows: that there's two different elements within this, right? There's two different elements, in a sense, within this damage that's caused. There's part of it which is the full damages, right? And there's part of it which is the migufa, or over here, in a sense, it is Sroros like. Right, but it's also we're talking about a keren tam. Right, you're talking about the intentional damage, and therefore you're still it's surprising, it's unusual. The dog is carried this over, and therefore you're paying for the what's called the tzad tamas. Right, that sort of tam side of it. Maybe I'm going to read this out. This isn't a rush. This is just the explanation that I have over here, and maybe it's helpful. Tahan l'das Rabbi Yehuda. According to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, yeshnam shnei chalokim bechiyuv tashlim anezek. There's two elements to this full damages nezek shalim tashlim nezek shalim. Why? What are the two? Ha'echad chatzi nezek shel shor tam. You are paying half damages for the shor because it is a type of shor tam. V'chatzi ze dino k'shor tam shemeshalim rak migufo, and that half is only migufo. You would only pay half. You'd only pay up to gufo. V'hasheni, and the second part is what is chatzi nezek nosaf midin shor muot for the shor muot's sake. V'osa meshalim habaylim mi beso, and therefore and that part you would pay full damages. Chatzi nezek nosaf midin shor muad v'osim shanim habaylim mibesa. I've lost the way that the Gemara is explaining this a little bit. Maybe Rashi puts it a little bit better. Okay. Just not sure what it's talking about. This tzad tamas. Why are we splitting it up? It almost like it sounds like we're dividing up the. Oh, I see. Oh, I see. Okay, fine. I think I understand what he's saying. I think basically, I think it's almost like borrowing a concept that basically Rabbi Huda has this elsewhere. But what we're basically saying, we seem to be bothered by the fact that you can have full damages, that you could be paying full damages and only be paying migufo, right? And basically, we're saying so you follow the opinion of Sumchus, and so why logically? Are you paying full damages, or why logically are you only paying migufo? So the answer is no. You're paying migufo because of this tzad tamas sheba. Because of this element of tam here, right? It's a similar type of thing. You can split up the two. You can split up the two that we have this element of tam to it. There is a sort of a surprising element to it, and therefore, when we say that you have to pay only migufo, only up until you still cap it at the value of the animal, then that's basically going on the tzad tamas. I think what I'm trying to figure out is whether this is just borrowing the concept, or we're actually saying that there's almost two levels of liability here. Meaning, I don't want to overcomplicate it, but it almost sounds from the explanations like for half you're paying full damages. On half of the damages, you're going to be capped, and on the other half of the damages, you're not going to be capped. That sounds a bit odd to me that you're doing that. We're sort of like doing a. It sounds a little bit weird. Or it's just borrowing the concept. That's what I had thought originally. But actually, to be honest, based on these explanations, it sounds more the first way, which is a little bit more puzzling to me. I hadn't quite read it that way when I looked at it earlier. We might have to come back to this, and I'll try and look it up later and try and figure out what exactly is going on. But certainly what we seem to be concluding over here from the migufa aspect is that there doesn't seem to be a problem of having nezek shalem, of having full damages and migufa, right? You can still have full damages and it's going to be capped. Which earlier we weren't so convinced of. Over here we do seem to have this. Now we'll continue on this line, and it will help us hopefully to won't make it more complicated. Hopefully it'll help us to get a little clearer. But we're going to continue on this line to try and figure out the Tam and Muad aspect. And actually, before we go on, maybe we'll just take a break here. Maybe this is a good place to just talk about Migufo anyway. A very fascinating Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, one of the great sages of sort of really trying to define that sort of brisker approach to really sort of try and define exactly what's behind each debate. Reb Chaim lived about, I don't know, 150 years ago maybe. Let's try and figure it out. No, less 100 years ago or so. And he has a famous book on the Gemara called the stencils, and it's like it looks typewritten. They still use that, still typewritten face. I don't know why, but they still use that, and so it's become famous for its. It doesn't look like a regular printed work. It looks like it was typewritten. And therefore, it's often called the stencils. And I believe there he has a piece where he talks about this difference of migufo and min ha'aliyah, and very fascinatingly, sort of says that you have when you're talking about an animal, when you're talking about somebody's animal causing damages. excuse me. There are two ways that you can fundamentally view it, right? You can either view it as, let's say, I'm the damaged party. So the damage has been caused. So because the damage was caused by your animal, I go to you. You are responsible, and therefore you are the one who I'm going to come to. If that's the case, so then you're the one who bears all the liability. You bear everything, right? You bear the entire liability. But he says there's another way to view it, and certain types of damages will fall into this. Keren Tam, for example, seems to be the paradigm of this, is that no. It's not that you owe me money because you own the animal. It's that the animal is the one who's responsible over here. I need to go to the animal. Now, in practical terms, can't do that. I can't go to the animal, so therefore you end up footing the bill in practical terms. But in a sense, it's less... The actual liability is coming from the animal, and therefore there's going to be this cap of migufo. Right? That's why it's happening. That's why you have this... this cap, because the liability is coming from the animal, and just happens to be that the owner's going to pay. I mean, for instance, you have it maybe in other. I don't know if you'd have exactly the same. Yeah, it wouldn't be exactly the same, but it's a little bit like, it's a little bit like the difference between being responsible for your own actions and being responsible for another person's actions, right? Sometimes, you know, you're responsible to foot the bill for somebody else. You have it sometimes in, I'll tell you where you have this. It's not exactly the same thing, but you have it sometimes with inheritance, right? With inheritance, with liabilities and inheritance, where there's limitations as to what gets carried over, right? Certain liabilities, if I owe you money, right, then you're going to come to me for everything. If really it was my parents' liability and now it's come down to me, so because it's going back, it's going to be limited to what certain elements. It's not exactly the same thing, but I do think over here you have this distinction between, again, so Ashur Muad is basically now the owner, now that it's reached, the way that Reb Chaim explains it, now that the animal is considered to be Ashur Muad, it's already gored three times, you know that this animal has caused damage, now you as an owner, you are more directly responsible. It's not just the animal who's responsible, right? It's you who's responsible, and therefore you're going to be paying not just full damages, but you're going to be paying Min Ha'aliyah, my qualm is with you directly. Whereas the Shur Tam, you know, you weren't to be expected, to an extent. You weren't to be expected to foot this bill. The animal is the one who caused the problem. Now, so I go to the animal. Okay, so someone has to pay for the animal. Someone has to pay for it. But in a sense, the liability is coming from that animal, and therefore that's why you're going to have that limitation. Now, here, that's really what the Gemara is asking, right? That's what the Gemara is asking. Does the same thing apply to Tzoros or not, right? That's Rava's question. Do we have this same limitation of Migufo or not? Do we have this same cap that really the liability is coming, in a sense, from the animal, and therefore you're only going to have to pay up until that amount? Or you say, no, this is classically part of the owner's responsibility. It's a more direct responsibility of the owner, and therefore... And therefore, you're going to pay all the way up, right? Doesn't matter how much, if it was a very expensive vase and the animal, even if it was indirect, so you're going to pay half damages of the entire amount of the vase. And just conceptually, just interesting to view it in those terms. Okay, coming back to our story, so we're right towards the bottom of Yud Chet Amud Aleph. We're going to have to find a good place to stop because we're getting into a very thick back and forth of the Gemara. All right, we'll see if we can go. We've probably got about 10, 12 more lines to get to another good stopping place. But let's see how we do. Okay, so Amalei Rav Sama Bereid Rav Ashi Laravina. This is very much continuing in the same on the same issues. Amalei Rav Sama Bereid Rav Ashi Laravina. So he says as follows: Rav Sama, the son of Rav Ashi, said to Ravina, "Imur deshom aslei l'Rabbi Yehuda." Excuse me. So now, when exactly is Rabbi Yehuda talking? Right, betam v'na'asa muad. That's what he's talking about. Let's suggest that Rabbi Yehuda is referring to a case where the tam is turned into a muad. But b'muad mitchiloso, right, we saw that there were certain animals which were muad in mitchiloson, like we saw in the Mishnah towards the end of the first chapter. So for instance, a lion, right, or something like that, it's considered muad mitchiloso. You doesn't need the first, if you have a pet lion, right, you don't need warning for that in advance, right? You don't need three times to think that the animal might cause damage, right? It's considered right from the start. Right, whereas with your cow, you would expect it not to charge at people, hopefully. Whereas the lion, that's not the case. So muad and mitchilos and mishamasle, right? So Rabbi Huda is talking about only that sort of case, right? What tam v'nas and muad, but not a muad mitchilos. So ella ki ka'omer Rabbi Lazar. So that was the that's really a question, right? It's really a question, and therefore, basically, what we're saying is, if that's the case, then this idea of tzad tomus, right, bimkom amed, the tzad tomus, this sort of tam element to the animal, might not really exist, i.e. because we're really talking within the world of Tsroros, right? We're not talking, let's remember, we're not talking about a case of goring over here. We're talking about a case of Tsroros, and therefore that whole concept of the Tzad Tam doesn't exist because there is no Tam. In Tsroros, there is no first three, you know, where you sort of get dispensation for the first time. The whole thing is right from the start is normal, is considered to be expected, and therefore it's more comparable to the modern mitchilosan, to the modern mitchilosan. So Elakika Omar Rabbi Lozar, when was Rabbi Lozar referring to, right? What was he talking about? That the excuse me, that the owner of the dog pays full damages, Nezik Shalim. Elakika Omar Rabbi Lozar Nezik Shalim, Kagon de Iyaid. Kagon de Iyaid. Where that's exactly what he's saying, right? the Gemara responds and say, no, maybe Rabbi Lazar is talking about that exact case. That what? That the animal has been walking along. Once upon a time, once the animal walked along and kicked out stones and broke something. So now, that's number one, strike one. Did that a second time, strike two. Did it a third time, strike three. So now we know that this animal kicks out stones and smashes pottery. That's a new concept. We haven't seen that. Right? That's what the Gemara is saying. Right? Kagon de Iyaid now is considered to be a muad with regard to breaking pottery, and that's why he's paying full damages. Right? This is not a classic case of sumchus. This is sumchus is saying even from strike one you pay full damages. This is no. You have become muad when you've done it three times. Uva hakamiflegi, and this is the machlokas between the Chachomim and Rabbi Lozar. Mar sovar yesh ha'ado litzros. That's exactly the debate that they're debating. According to Rabbi Lazar, there is such a thing as becoming a muad with regard to tzros. You can become a muad if you do it many times. If you do it three times, if the animal does it over and over and over again, right? If pebbles seem to get shot out of this animal and smash things, then then you can become a muad. Umar Sovar, and the other opinion, the Rabbanon, who say, you know, you pay half damages, Sovar Ein Ha'adah Litzroros. They say there's no such thing. There's no such concept as a Muad when it comes to Tzroros. Half damages is half damages. It's always half damages. It's that's the dispensation of Tzroros. It's an unusual thing. It's indirect, not unusual. It's indirect. And therefore, you always pay half damages.
Would that be different if this animal kept kicking out pebbles because the person who owned that particular pathway?
It was always putting out their vase there. Oh yeah, so again, with all of these sorts of things, and that's why it's often very difficult to apply these to our world. I mean, I don't know how many cases Bote didn't get of these sorts of things. With all of these sorts of things, yeah, a lot of it's linked to what is normal in a certain place. So, for instance, you know. Yeah. You know, like the digging of a pit. I do think again we have a higher standard of roadways nowadays as well. You know, once upon a time pebbles was very normal. Pebbles was very normal on the thing. You know, we've got particularly well paved roads, and as a result of that, because we have such well paved roads, when they're not like that, right? When you have a loose paving stone, for example, then maybe that's worse. Now, because we have such a high standard, you know, it's expected to be much more. But yeah, in the we're talking about where once upon a time where there's a regular dirt path, you know, regular dirt path. I don't know. It wasn't. It's.
No, I'm just thinking about conflicting obligations, or maybe obligation on one person that isn't carried out.
Right.
Which then creates the environment.
You mean they should have done it? Yeah. There is a concept of Hezek Harabim. I don't know if the Gemara. I don't think. I mean, for instance, again, you can have a case where in a society. Society has an expectation on an individual, and yes, that would cause problems. For instance, I'm not an expert, but I seem to remember when we lived in New York that you were responsible for shoveling the snow out on the pavement outside your house, right? So let's say you didn't do that, right, and damage was caused. So there, it's not a Torah obligation in the sense that that's not classical, but if the society has agreed that that's what you're supposed to do and that's what happens, then yeah, you're liable from a Torah perspective for that damage, for the damage that's caused as a result of that. And let's say the animal slips and nothing happens to the animal, right? But it slips on the snow and and smashes your vase, right? Yeah. Then you would, then presumably you wouldn't be, you wouldn't be able to claim, because again, you should have done it.
Yeah.
You're right. But that's, yeah, yeah, you should, yeah, yeah. I would assume that is the case. I would assume that is the case. Yeah. 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 Yeah, I would assume that is the case. Okay. Do you know what? I actually think this is a decent place to stop. Okay, we've talked about Hadot, because we get the, from here we're going to get into. I mean, alternatively, we get down to the full stop, but that's already quite a lot of new stuff. So the full stop's like halfway down Yudchet Amud Bet. But I think if we stop here, we're going to get into next time another question. Now that we've introduced this machlokas, this debate as to whether there is muad, can you have muad for tzoros or not, right? Can you have this three strikes, and now it's pushed up a level. So now that we've introduced that as a machlokas, we're going to have another question from Rova again, right? Rova seems to be asking all the good questions over these couple of daf. Rova was the one who asked about Migufo, right? Rova was the one who asked earlier about Bosar Meikaro or Bosar Tavamano, right? Whether you go following the start or whether you go following the smashed utensil. And now he's going to also be asking the question about Muad Litzuras, about whether you can have this Muad concept for three strikes and you're out. Okay, so let's start. I'm actually going to mark it off this week, so we remember. Yeah, okay, good. Mark it off. I don't know where we're up to.